real foundational issues regarding healing. I think sometimes people think that, you know, if we just spend time looking for the deep truths of God's word, that's the answer to a lot of these things. And more often than not, it's just simple things. It's very simple truths that are what we need to become established in. You know, it's foundational things. Foundational things are simple. They're basic. It's like the foundation. The example that I've been using for the last couple of weeks is the foundation of a home. You know, first they lay footings and then they lay courses of block in a climate like ours, especially you have to have that. And if that foundation isn't true, if that foundation isn't accurate, as they begin to build the superstructure, the house on top of that, those imperfections will begin to show up. Windows won't be square, the roof won't be proper, it'll start showing up, and sometimes you think those are the things where you could fudge a little bit, but you can't fudge on foundational things. And so I think that's true in our spiritual lives too. That's so important that we have our lives built on very solid foundational scriptures and principles. Because as you grow as a Christian, as you grow and as you mature, if your foundational teachings aren't right, if they're not accurate, it'll show up later on. And we see that so often with people that maybe would come to our kind of church from maybe a denominational background, and maybe they've been taught some things that aren't so right. They've been taught that God doesn't heal today, that those things passed away, or that God might use sickness or disease to teach or to grow us up. There's all kinds of things like that because we've heard other than that. We've heard what the word has to say on those particular subjects. You know, when we hear that somebody else believes that way, we almost think it's kind of comical. We'll maybe laugh a little bit about that somebody could even think that way, but there are people that do believe that. There are people that believe that poverty is godly. There are people that believe that sickness is one of God's tools for teaching or for correcting people. There's a lot of beliefs out there. Those are foundational things that were laid in someone's life. And sometimes what happens is they come into maybe a church like ours, or a church that teaches, that's more scripturally based, that's word founded. And it's almost like having to jack a house up off of its foundation and rebuild, tear out the old foundation and rebuild a new foundation. And that takes time. You know, it's not what we're hearing here in our head. It's just not head truth. It's heart truth. It's getting our hearts established. And so we've looked at that, talked about that a little bit for the last couple of weeks. And one of the things that I think is a very, very, very foundational principle when it comes to healing is the fact that most of the time we're going to be healed. People are going to receive healing through their own faith. Now, God does heal through the gifts of the Spirit. That happens. Some of you probably have received healing that way. You've received healing through a ministry, somebody who flows in gifts of healings. But for the most part, I've been saved now for 30 some years. I can't remember. It's back since 1976, 75. So that's a long time. And I've never received healing that way. And yet I've received what I would consider to be some very spectacular healings in my life. Things that doctors said, well, you know, this is just going to get worse. In particular, I had my neck. I had it wasn't an injury. I guess it was a work-related type of thing from sitting improperly at the desk and putting pressure in these vertebrae in my neck, and it was causing some pinching on the spinal cord. And the doctor said, you know, this is just going to get worse, and the only answer for this is surgery. Well, who wants to do that? Who wants to go through that? And knowing what I do, that God is a healer, I set myself to begin to believe God for healing. And it wasn't like gifts of healings operate more instantaneously. More often than not, when a gift of healing is in manifestation, or gifts of miracles are in manifestation, it's more instantaneous. But when you have to stand and believe God using your faith, sometimes that takes time. There's a process involved in that. And so in my particular case, I was in pain. I had some numbness in my arm because of it, because you're pinching the spinal cord, so that affects, you know, different limbs. And so and that went on for a few months. Now, I admit that I went to a chiropractor thinking, well, maybe that could help me a little bit. And I was getting some therapeutic massage and things like that. And after a few times going to see the chiropractor, I was on my way home, and the doctor said, you're trusting in that too much. He just said, you're just, the Lord said, did I say the doctor said? No, the doctor didn't say that. The Lord said, you're trusting in that too much. You are trusting too much in what this, besides it felt really good to go to the chiropractor. I was getting massage and I liked that. But, you know, and when the Lord speaks to you like that, that is the most important thing when you're on a journey of healing, is to listen to those little things, to learn to listen, because that's God giving you your prescription for healing. Now, somebody else might hear me share that and then go, well, I'm going to do that. No, that's not for you. That was for me. And so I, Dwayne and I were able to go then after that particular session and hearing that from the Lord. The chiropractor I was going to was just a few blocks from our home. And I can remember thinking, okay, we're going up north. We were going up north for a few days just to get some rest. And so we were up there. And then the Lord gave us another piece of that puzzle. We were reading the scriptures and we were talking. And of course, I was doing everything I knew to do. I was applying some natural things too. I was doing some heat and some cold and things like that just to relieve the discomfort of it. But I was reading. I took Charles Capps's little book on, you know, the little mini book that he's got that's got some great little confessions just to continue to reinforce my heart in the word pertaining to healing. And while we were up there and some time that we had in prayer together, the Lord showed my husband that just like in a marriage relationship, that our bodies don't belong to us, they belong to our spouse, that applied to healing as well. And again, that was a rhema. That was something very specifically spoken. Now somebody else might try to take that run with it. But that's something the Lord spoke to him. He said, look, her body's your body, so you can take equal authority over this issue, the same type of authority that she's taking. And so the two of us were able to join our faith and exercise our faith and our authority over that situation. And it still took a while. It wasn't something that we tried for a few days. It wasn't something that we went after for a few days, and then I didn't see anything change. In fact, some days it was worse than others. I was very uncomfortable. I was in pain. I had headaches from it. I mean, you name it. It was a very uncomfortable situation. But I didn't talk it. I didn't talk the problem. I did not vocal. I mean, a lot of you didn't even know. Didn't even know I was going through that. I did not talk it. I didn't, magnify it. I didn't put it on Facebook. Hey, everybody. You know, that's one of my pet peeves, is everybody putting all their ailments on Facebook. You know, Facebook's a great communication tool, but I think that's what it's good for, is just communicating. Say, hi, how y'all doing? I'm doing great. But, you know, I just went after it and continued to just spend time in the Word. I spent a lot of time meditating in the truth, in the Word. And it was a process of time. It took, I don't know, I couldn't even tell you, but it was one of those things that one day it was just better. It was just better. And I went through the same thing, a few years before that with my feet. I had some horrible problems with plantar fasciitis. If you've ever had it, you know how absolutely miserable. Anybody ever had plantar fasciitis in here? It can be miserable. Absolutely miserable. You get up and the first couple steps that you step on your feet, it's just miserable. And the same thing, I was working for Eric Moore hours at that time. And at lunchtime, I would go out and I would walk, which is the worst thing in the world to do when you have plantar fasciitis, but I would walk. And every step I'd take, I'd speak to my feet and I'd claim the healing scriptures. And it was the same thing. It was one of those deals where one day it was just, they were better. They were, you know, you just don't even notice the transition. All of a sudden, things are better. That is the primary way that God heals, is through faith. Just our standing on His Word, taking Him at His Word. But you have to be patient. You have to be consistent. You have to be committed to the process of healing. You know, it's a lot easier having somebody just lay hands on you and speak to it, or having a gift of healing or gifts of miracles or something like that in manifestation and receiving that way. It's spectacular. It's wonderful. But I think that there is something to be said for the process of believing God by faith. There's a process that you go through. You spend more time listening. You spend more time hearing what God is saying to you about that situation. There's a process that you go through, and what happens once the healing comes, if down the road those manifestations or those physical symptoms show up again, you know what got you well. You know the process that you went through to get you healed. And if those little, some symptom just crops up again, it's much easier for you to know how to address it. When you receive through the gifts of the Spirit, that's not quite the same because you weren't really involved in the process at all. You just came and received. It was like somebody gave you a gift. And it's spectacular, and God loves us so much, He'll get it to us in any way He can. But when it comes that way, there was no process involved in that. And sad to say, but many people who receive that way don't maintain that healing because they weren't involved in the process. And if a symptom comes back again, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to resist it. They don't know to go back to something the Lord might have spoken to them about that situation. And so I believe that the more profound method of receiving healing is just through your own faith. And most of the accounts of healing in the scriptures, that's exactly what they were. They were people receiving based on something that they had heard. They had heard something about Jesus. Of the 19 cases of healing, 10 of them, at least 10 of them, imply that the person received by their faith. Jesus pointed that out. Jesus made a point, or the scriptures record it in such a way that it's implied or it's inferred that their faith was involved in that. And so, you know, I think because that is sort of our model, I believe that's going to be the case for most believers. We're going to receive by our faith. We're going to see something in the scriptures. We're going to be reading along, and we're going to hear. And, you know, when they would come to Jesus and they'd state their claim or state their case of for healing, and Jesus would say, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Oftentimes he would say things like that. You know, he never said, according to my ability. He never said that. He never said, but according to my ability, you be healed. He would say, it's according to your faith. And so we're not most often, now again, I am not discounting gifts of healings. Praise God for gifts of healings. If someone is on their deathbed, or if they're in excruciating pain, or if they just, you know, God will minister that way, but then we have to get to work and get that person built up and get their faith built up and get them established in the Word so that they'll hold on to that. They'll have the strength to hold on to that healing. But in most cases, we're not going to receive based on what God can do. Because God can do, can't God do anything? People say, well, God can do anything. Most often, we're not going to receive based on what God can do. We're going to receive based on what we believe, what's been established in our own hearts, because God can do anything. Now, there's an exception to God doing can do anything, and that's when unbelief comes in. There's an exception because there were times when Jesus was out ministering. We know of in Matthew chapter 12, is it? No, Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 6, both of them are accounts where Jesus was out ministering in certain places, and he was able to do no mighty works. He was able to not to do much at all because of unbelief. There was unbelief present. And, you know, the interesting thing about unbelief is that in the Greek, it's just the word belief with the letter A in front, which just negates belief. And when you think about what belief is, it's a persuasion, isn't it? Belief is a belief. Believing in something is a persuasion. I wrote down some of the definitions. It means to be persuaded. It means to place confidence in or to trust. It signifies reliance upon, not merely credence, which is just mental acceptance. And a lot of people mentally accept the word, but that's all it is. It's just a mental acknowledgement of the word. So if you put the letter A in front of that word, that negates it. So think about that. If believing or belief means to be persuaded, then wouldn't that say then that unbelief would be being unpersuadable? And some people, there's areas of their lives they're absolutely unpersuadable about. I don't care. Sean could get up and share every week about how the impact giving can have in our lives. And there are people that are unpersuadable. They'll never grab onto that. They'll never grab on to, they're unpersuadable. That's true with healing as well. There's people that are just, they will trust in a doctor before they ever trust in the healing power of God that's present and that's available to them. So unpersuadable, uncertain. You could say doubtful. Or distrustful, or even you could say skeptical. They'll hear a promise and they'll, in their head, the first thought that comes is, that's too good. That's just too good to be true. I can't trust that. That's unbelief. That's how unbelief manifests. And there's three different ways that, or categories of unbelief. There's unbelief that's the result of ignorance. Well, that's easy to cure, isn't it? We just educate people. Isn't that what Jesus did? After he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief, it says he went about teaching and preaching. That's what he would do. That was his answer for unbelief in that particular case, was he went out and he taught and he preached the word. Or there's unbelief from wrong doctrine. And we talked about that a little bit earlier. That just requires time, where you have to kind of, it's like the house, you jack the house up off the foundation, you dig out that foundation and you build a new one, or you lay a new one. And knowledge and understanding are the answers for that kind of unbelief. Of course, that's what Jesus did. He knew the answer. But then there's natural unbelief, where we're more moved by what we're seeing, the balance in our checkbook, or the physical symptoms, or they're laying off people at work, or the way people are treating me, you know, any number of those things. That's natural unbelief. And in Matthew chapter 17, the account of the lunatic son, remember the father brought that boy to the disciples and they couldn't heal him, and Jesus had just come down off the Mount of Transfiguration and from that glorious scenario down into this place of unbelief where nothing was happening and there was this ruckus going on, and the disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast this thing out? Why couldn't we deal with it? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Well, it wasn't because they weren't persuaded that about healing. It wasn't that they were uncertain about healing. They were more moved by watching this boy flailing around and throwing himself on the ground. And, you know, it said that he'd throw himself in the water and he'd throw himself in the fire. And they were so moved by, that was natural unbelief. They were so moved by what they were seeing. And that, I think, is what happens with more people than not in the church, is it's natural unbelief. They're so moved by their circumstances. They're, well, like, we can't give. We don't have anything. Or I have to go to the doctor because, you know, the doctor's got all the answers. Or, you know, we could just say we're so moved by the natural input, the natural, stimulus that's there, that we become unpersuaded of God's word, or we become uncertain of God's word. We just are more moved. It happened to me yesterday, when we got the phone call that the furnace wasn't working in the big part of the church. I mean, it was like my immediate reaction was, oh, this building. And I started murmuring and complaining right away. Poor Dwayne, he's, you know, the brunt. See, it happens to us too. You know, all you think is, we just keep dumping. It's like a money pit. I didn't say that, but I wanted to. This building's just a money pit, you know. It just, every time you turn around, there's something else that we, you know. But of course, what I did, the answer to that kind of unbelief, because for a moment I was more persuaded in the money pit than I was God's provision. See, it happens to all of us. We're all tempted with these things. So I stood for a while. And of course, you know, the Lord is so good. You know, he doesn't just berate you for that stuff. I went and I got some things finished up, and I went and went to bed, and I was laying in the court. You can't go to sleep when that's going on. Try to get some rest. Just, I dare you to try to get some rest when you're on unbelief. And so I was laying in bed and I just went down my list of all these things. First of all, I realized that I had more faith in my ability to budget and to set money aside to do those things than I did for God to provide for us at times like that. So okay, Lord, forgive me. Then it's like, well, the people, you know, it has to come through the people. And then, I mean, the Lord is so faithful. See, this is one of the best cures for unbelief, is just shut up and listen. So I'm thinking the people, you know, this is Christmas time. People don't have extra money to give, and this is going to cost us money. And, you know, you're arguing it within yourself. And the Lord's just like what the Lord said to the prophet when he felt like he was the only one left. You know, well, we only got a couple people that'll even help us with something like this. And I was like, stupid. And what the Lord said, I have how many that haven't bowed their knee to Baal? And so the Lord will, if you stop and if you're quiet, the Lord will bring those answers to you at a time like that. And that's the cure for this third type of unbelief. Natural unbelief is, what did Jesus say to them about the lunatic son? He said, this type cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now, it's not that prayer and fasting are more powerful than the name of Jesus or the blood of Jesus. That's not what Jesus was saying. It's the unbelief that is addressed through prayer and fasting. Because when you quiet your senses and when you quiet yourself enough to hear from God. That's how you deal with these situations. And see, that's what happened with me. My poor husband had to listen to me for I don't know how. I mean, he went downstairs. He went to his cave. Smart man. I mean, what man doesn't have a cave he can escape to? when his wife is spewing, unbelief. And again, I'm saying, look, we all are tempted like this. See, it happens to us too. But it's not that you went there, it's that you don't want to stay there. Amen. And so God has an answer. If you will go and through time of prayer, and maybe it's fasting, it depends on the severity of the situation, you just quiet your natural man and you get before God and you just spend time waiting on him and listening to him. And you know what? He will talk to you. And that's exactly what he did. I had this whole list of objections that I was going down. This and this and this and this and every one of them he addressed. Now see, if it had been me, if that was just me doing that, I wouldn't have had the objections in the first place. It was God. God was talking to me. So, unbelief is something that you're going to have to deal with. When needs come up, when physical things come up, when you have a problem in a relationship, these you're going to have to spend. Most of the belief, I believe, in, especially in our types of settings, our types of groups, are natural unbelief, where you just get kind of thrown off kilter by something that just suddenly happens. It's bad news or something. Praise God if we can get to the place where we don't react at all. That would be so nice. I would much rather that would have been the place. Oh, praise the Lord! God's our provider! Praise God! Well, I didn't do that. I did not do that. My husband could tell you I did not do that. It was just the opposite. It was like blah, 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 blah. So anyway, the answer was, it took a little, it took a little while, but the answer was, is me just being quiet and going and getting before God and having him just speak some answers to me and show me what his word had to say. That's the answer for natural unbelief. And see that, you can't be in a place of unbelief and expecting to receive the answer at the same time. The answer, like the finances or the healing or whatever, you have to focus on the answer. You have to get your focus right. And the fact of the matter is, as I've shared here recently, is the supply is so much greater than our need. Imagine yourself in your place of need with a little thimble going to Niagara Falls for a drink of water. That's what God's supply is like. That is so awesome. The supply is so much greater, or being in the middle of the ocean and all you can see is water everywhere. And that's God's supply compared to this tiny little need that we have. And so, but you have to get quiet. You have to get quiet and you have to be willing to spend some time feeding and meditating on that type of reality to change, to get yourself back into a place of being persuaded or certain or trusting or reliance. You have to, sometimes you just have to get quiet and listen to God. Amen. I don't think there's a greater boost to our faith than just being quiet and listening. Because we could go ahead and repeat anything someone else has told us that worked for them, but it's not going to work for us. It has to be real. It has to be rhema to us. It has to be the living voice. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's talking about what God is saying to you about this situation. Amen.